That's my advice for players and coaches.
Find a way.
Create your own opportunities. Yeah. You know, find a way and create your own opportunities, no matter how long it takes.
They need to find somebody that's going to love them and take care of them and prepare them for the real world. Because this baseball thing ain't going to last forever.
And I think where JUCO becomes a fantastic option is if you don't fall in love.
I think it's really important that we link, as parents and coaches, we've linked identity with you know, who they really are, and leave baseball as the thing that they do.
Welcome back to the Are You in the Book podcast, where the journey is greater than the destination. Brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. Are you in the book? And now, your host, Eric Wobinoff.
Welcome back to another episode of Are You in the Book podcast. My name is Eric Wobinoff, the president of the Baseball Blue Book. And today we are excited to have the head coach at Randall University with us, Coach Bennett. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good today. Thank you for having me on. You caught me on a day that I'm working from home, so I am in the wife's crafting shed so that we don't get interrupted by the kids getting home from school. It's great to be here.
That's great. That's great. Well, I was just complimenting Coach on his shed there. And your wife is a lucky woman to have something like that. So, and I'm sure everybody else appreciates her getting her free time and a little rest and relaxation away from everybody else.
Yeah.
So
do I have to answer that?
I don't know. If you want a good Christmas, I don't know. We'll just leave it at that, right? We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
That's great. Well, Coach, we appreciate you being on the program. One thing I really love doing these shows is getting to know the coaches. I think one of the things that players and parents forget is coaches are just normal dudes. They're just guys that they love the game of baseball. And more importantly, they love raising boys to become men. And that's kind of a general theme across the board when I talk to these head coaches. But Randall University is down in, I think, Moore, Oklahoma, and just a few hours from us. And so it's exciting to be in the Midwest, and baseball a little bit different, recruiting is a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Coach Bennett on kind of what we'll start out with his journey of how he got to being a coach, and hopefully hear a little bit about his process in going through baseball as well. But we will then follow that with what kind of players that he's looking for, what kids fit in the Randall University, and then an opportunity to kind of promote the school and hear a little bit about Randall University if you have not heard of the school. So, Coach, I'm going to kind of hand it over to you and hear a little bit about you.
All right. I don't know where you want me to start. A little bit about me. I'm actually originally from Texas. Family still lives down there. Grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Corsicana, Texas. We were 4A back then. I think they're 5A now. My baseball journey is actually kind of what's going to lead into some of the other conversations later on, I'm sure. I was a good baseball player, played on travel teams. I played on summer league teams with guys that ended up playing in the pros. I don't want to name drop, played on the same summer league team as guys that had professional careers that are now in front offices for Major League Baseball organizations. So I was always kind of around guys that knew how to get to that next level. And unfortunately, I wasn't one of those guys. I got by with the ability I got. I wasn't the first, you know, I was the last one in the weight room. I was the first one to leave type thing. And so I wasn't really heavily recruited out of high school. Matter of fact, I wasn't recruited. I had to do it on my own. And this was back before social media, before you could put video on Twitter. And it was just word of mouth. I got lucky enough that some coaches were there to see some other players that were on my team that I was playing with, and ended up talking to them, ended up going to Tarleton State. I always say unceremoniously, because I went there and nobody in my hometown small town of Corsicana. Nobody in my hometown even knew I went to school there to play baseball. That's just how like unceremoniously it was, just because of that recruiting process, and I wasn't highly recruited. So I got there, played at Tarleton State under Hall of Fame coach Jack Allen. Joel Fulani was there. He was the assistant that year, and he actually took over after Coach Allen left. And then, man, you put me on the spot. I can't think of the guy's name right now. But our pitching coach was actually what ended up being the head coach there, and then is now coaching in the major leagues. If you said his name, I would say yes. His name's Brian. But I cannot think of his last name right now. So that's kind of my journey to college. And then when I got to college, I was the last guy in the weight room. I was the first guy to leave. And I got lucky enough that when I was at Tarleton, I got to be around. If you go and you look at Tarleton State stat leader. So if you look at the home run leader, if you look at the ERA leader, if you look at the, you know, stolen base leader, the put out leader, all those kind of things, they were all there the same time I was. So I got to see, even though I wasn't doing it myself, I got to see what it takes to get to that level and what kind of player you have to be. After Tarleton, after my baseball career was over, moved to Lubbock, went to Texas Tech, and then finished up there. And then whenever I got done there, moved back to Dallas and got into, coaching privately, just, lessons, travel ball, that kind of stuff. Moved to Oklahoma, coached, collegiate summer league for a little while, had a stint as a junior high, baseball coach, and then really dove into the showcases, the travel ball, all of that, until an opportunity came for me to be an assistant coach at Randall. Started that, was there for a while. And then when that coach decided to move on, I was kind of the head coach in waiting, if you will, and took over. So a little bit about me is that Randall's the only college I've been. Was there as an assistant, took over as the head coach. And then I'm sure we'll get into the questions and stuff. But really my journey and my adversity and my misfortunes and my mistakes is what I use to lead the program and lead the players and the guys that come through the program. I've already made the mistake. I've lived it. Learn through me.
That's good.
I have a philosophy. Oh, back up. So I was also in business. I'm a licensed realtor in the state of Oklahoma. So I was in the real estate business for 13 years. And so I got, you know, meeting people, you know, sales, that type of stuff. And just that the stuff that I learned through that kind of led me to, hey, this is where I want to be. I want to lead. One thing I learned through sales is to be successful, you have to fail. And to be successful quicker, you have to fail faster. Okay. Yeah. That was something that we kind of always learned in sales. And so what I figure is when I get to the college level, I want these guys to be successful. And they can be successful faster, the faster they fail. Well, the fastest way to fail is to actually learn from someone else's failure that's been there before you. So I bring, you know, when I get them on campus, I'm upfront and forward with them. I tell them the same things I just told y'all. Hey, this is what I did, and this is what I did wrong, and this is why I did fail. So let's not do this. So that's kind of me. That's kind of where I am and how I got here. And I'm sure there's some questions from all of that you'll have, and kind of how I use that to have a successful program.
Coach, that was great. I really appreciate you going into that, because there is a lot. There's a lot of information that you provided, and I got a number of questions for you. I think the very first one, and you said it twice. You said that you were the last one in the weight room and the first one to leave. And I'm assuming that that's probably a pretty big message that you have for your players. And one of the things that you kind of look back at, and being surrounded with a lot of the people that probably put a higher priority in the game than you did. Talk about that a bit, and then I've got a few other questions to follow up with that.
Yeah, it's not always, especially when you get to this level, it's not always who's the biggest, who's the fastest. In recruiting, we like to the exit velos and the 60, speeds and all that kind of stuff. And once you get on campus, me personally, I don't like to speak for all coaches, but my experience that I had with coaches and then me, that only goes so far. After that, it's going to be, what are you willing to do to get better? And I actually just had a recruiting call with a gentleman today, and that's what I told him. I said, most guys get to college and they think that they've made it. Right. They get there and they're like, hey, I made it. And what they don't understand is they have to keep putting in the work. They have to keep getting the extra cuts. They have to keep doing the extra reps, things like that, because if they don't, somebody else is. Yes. And to get better and to get where you want to be, you need to be better as a senior than you were as a freshman. Just like in high school, you have put up better stats and you were bigger, faster, stronger as a senior than you were as a freshman. And I feel like you have to do that on the college level also. You can't just show up and feel like you made it and go through the motions.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Bringing that up when kids make it to that collegiate level, that's really the difference maker, right? The kids that go, okay, this is the beginning versus, hey, I did make it. And I appreciate you sharing that. Yes. When you share that with a recruit, you said you're doing some recruiting this week and having some conversations. What kind of responses are you looking for? I mean, obviously they're going to be all over the place, but what's the response that makes you go, you know what, this might be someone that I put on my list?
So all of them say, yeah, that sounds great. Right. But you can hear it in their voice. Sometimes if they really mean it, the response that I'm looking for is, that they respect that, and that they are encouraged by that. Cause that's really what they're looking for also.
Good. Good. Now that's a great point, because it ties in with the development side of collegiate sports, right? A lot of people, there's different levels. There's the high Power 5 D1 schools that are saying, hey, as soon as you walk in here, you better be ready to play. That's a different person, right? There's not a whole lot of these 6'4", 230-pound seniors that are coming out. And then with the portal, that's just changed considerably, right? Even the kids that are there and ready to go, they're competing with 4,000 other players that have actually played the game and understand it. So I appreciate that and kind of explaining to what you're looking for. You also mentioned talking about your background of sales, and I loved it because it's something that I've shared a number of times on the podcast with other coaches. I always said that baseball players always make the best sales guys. And my background sales, and I played baseball, and it's because of the failure rate. And you hit it on the head. And faster to fail is the faster to succeed. It's just like at bats. You're not going to, every time you strike out, that gives you another opportunity to get a hit. Just like a sales call, every call that you make that you get a no, you're that close. You're that much closer to a yes. I loved you sharing that. Expand a bit on that and how you use that message to your players that have already said yes, they've committed, they're now in the locker room, and you're talking that through. Kind of how is that used throughout the process of you coaching these guys?
It's exactly like what you just said. If a guy is a 300 hitter, we're just going to use that as a baseline. If he's a 300 hitter, then if he strikes out twice, then statistically says he's not going to strike out that next time, right? He's two steps closer to that hit, and that's just exactly how how I use it. And you know, baseball is a game of failure. I talk about that, you know, all the time, and I roll it into that message is baseball is a game of failure. You know, batting 300, we've all heard it. That means, you know, the other seven times you got out. Well, you know, and that's the message that we send is don't worry about the two strikeouts, because that two strikeouts means now you're one step closer to getting that hit.
Yeah.
Or don't worry about, you know, whatever it is that happened, because that failure just got you one step closer. And then from there, I carry it on a little bit, and we do a lot of mindset work within the program, and we talk about, you know, faster to fail, faster to succeed, but also learning from that failure. Okay, so if you strike out, and you'll see it if you ever come to any of my games or something, if a guy strikes out, he doesn't walk into the dugout and start throwing stuff. He doesn't, you know, he walks into the dugout, and usually the first thing that he does is talk to the on-deck batter. Like, hey, this is what just happened. So we focus on, you know, is it if we learned from it,
right,
and we're better the next time, then it's not a failure. We've actually grown, and we're a better player. And we focus on every day learning something new. And that rolls into that is when we make a mistake, if we learn from it, it wasn't really a mistake, or it was a mistake, but it wasn't really a failure because now we got better.
Right.
And I have guys all the time, you know, they may go 0-for-3 and all three at bats, they struck out on curveballs. And so at the end of the game or the next day, because I don't do post game speeches to the guys, that's something else that I don't do. But the next day or later that evening when I talk to them, I say, hey, what did you learn? And if they learned, hey, I need to start working on staying back and hitting off speed pitches. Well, now those three strikeouts, yes. Did it stink that happened today and all that? Yes. If you go back and you work on it, and now the next game you're 2-for-3 and your two hits came on off speed pitches, then it was worth it.
Yeah.
And so that's the mentality that I might have just over spoke, you know, gave way too much answer for the question you asked. But that's how I use that. That's how I use that failure. Let's build off the failure. Let's learn something from it. And if we learn something from it, then it wasn't really a failure. It was just growth.
I think that's really good, Coach. You know, it's not necessarily learning to avoid the failure, because you're not batting 1,000. Just like in sales, right, you're not going to close every deal. So when you're learning from the mistakes, a lot of times it's the approach and failing faster, right? It's reading certain things quicker so that you're not sitting there and stuck in something that is going to fail anyway. And I think that's where I think it's such a great complementary profession as well as the sport, and it really links together. So I appreciate you sharing that, and kudos to you bringing that to the game, because, you know, it's real world examples of how this can benefit you. One of the things, my favorite coach, Tim Nyman up in DeSales, he always says that, you know, we're teaching these men to be great members of society, right? Baseball's going to end. So how do we get these guys prepared? And that's a real, that's tricky for a lot of coaches, right? You're buying into this program. You want to win, but ultimately the goal is to have these guys find what they want to do, something that they're passionate about, and take the skills from baseball and move it forward. So Coach, I appreciate that. So let's go on. We talked about the sales and the baseball. We talked about the discipline and learning from your mistakes. You know, you also talked about part of your journey was going from and doing a lot of showcase tournament type ball, travel ball. Talk about that. There is, you know, there's probably two sides of the coin right now when you hit social media, right? There's ones that hate it and there's ones that love it. And then there's ones that I'm trying to find the ones that can balance it. And that's why it sounds like you might have a good kind of philosophy as far as what's going on right now with youth baseball and how can that really, how can we transition to being a good collegiate athlete?
Yeah. So I just want to say I have been on both sides of it, but I don't know if my answer is going to be good. the first thing that I always that I always start with is there's no need to start too soon. You know, we're going to get into in just a minute, you know, talking about the high school showcases and the college showcases and stuff like that. But I want to start at, you know, don't get in it too soon. You know, I want to be politically correct because I really don't want to upset anyone, but you know, certain organizations or certain companies having ratings for, you know, 8U and 10U teams and stuff like that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares except mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. College coaches don't care if your 10U team won the Disney ESPN 32 tournament that was in Florida. We really don't. So, you know, another thing, and I may bounce back and forth. The other thing is, you know, there's a lot of parents of the teenagers, the, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 year olds, the sixth, seventh, eighth graders that aren't quite into high school yet. And they're spending a lot of money on lessons and then they're spending a lot of money on these travel organizations and stuff like that. And a hill I will die on is sometimes you need to take that money and instead of spending it on the traveling organizations, spend it on a better instructor. If you know your son is 12, 13 and he's already hit puberty, spend it on some speed and agility, spend it on a personal trainer, spend it on some stuff like that, that is going to help them more in the long run than just taking batting lessons or going and playing in a tournament that doesn't really matter. Right. Okay. So that's the 15 or 14 you down. Once you get into high school, I'm on both sides of the fence on this. I really am. Because I think there are a lot of good organizations out there that do the right thing. Yeah. There's just some that aren't. And so, you know, finding that right organization that does the right thing and doesn't, you know, if your organization just goes and plays in tournaments that are sponsored by, you know, big names and stuff, you know, I would say that's probably not money well spent. If your organization goes and plays in tournaments that are actually hosted by colleges or that colleges are actually have representations at, or if your organization itself hosts a showcase day where they invite college coaches out to be there for that organization, I think that is money well spent. I think there's organizations out there that I'm not saying that's the only reason that those players get seen, but that's a reason that those players get seen by certain schools. And so I think that is good. Going to some of those organizations, you know, some of those showcases, where they advertise there's 30 schools there. You know, sometimes you just got to be careful because who's really there? Is it a decision? This is what I always tell people when they ask me this. Find out the schools that are going to be there and the best you can find out if a decision maker is going to be there.
Right.
Because there are universities and this is, it is what it is. And, you know, again, I don't like to throw people under the bus or talk negative about them. But there's some universities that they send somebody there with their hat and their shirt on, but they don't really represent the university. They're not a decision maker. They take some notes and they send that back to the recruiting coordinator or whatever. And unless your son or your player is, you know, in the top one, you know, top 10%, we'll say if they're not in the top 10%, in those statistical numbers, they're not even going to get a second look.
Right.
Whereas if you go to a showcase where the actual coach is there, they might see the athleticism, but it doesn't show up in a 60 time. They might see the hustle on and off the field in between innings, but that doesn't show up in your three at bats. I tell a story all the time. I actually told this to my players. I went to a showcase. I was invited by the organization. The organization held a showcase. I went to it, and I saw a guy And he struck out his first at bat. He walked back. This is a high school kid. Walked back to the dugout, head held high, talked to the on-deck batter, went out there the next inning, made two plays at his position. Next at bat, he struck out, walked back, talked to the on-deck batter, jogged back out to his position, made three plays that inning, literally all three plays that inning after he had just struck out. Then later on in the game, tie ball game, runner at second base, he gets a base hit and that scores the run, right? So statistically, he was 1 for 3. His 60 times not real good, but that player is the player that I want. That player is, you know, the way he did it. His one hit came after two strikeouts, just the way he carried himself. And that's not going to show up if I didn't see it myself.
Right.
If somebody just sent me a sheet that said, hey, this guy went 1 for 3 and got an RBI, that's not really that big of a deal. So when talking to parents, I let them know, hey, you just need to make sure you know who's there. If the right people are there, then it's worth it. But if there's, you know, I've invited guys to come onto campus and they told me, hey, coach, I can't come on a visit because I have a tournament game this weekend. And, you know, my honest question to them is how many college coaches that want you
right
are going to be there? That weekend, it probably would have been more beneficial to not play and come visit me, and you would have maybe had an opportunity, and they may have gotten an opportunity. There may have been somebody there, but, you know, don't. So that's my long answer. Again, I give long answers to short questions. That's my long answer to just make sure you know who's there.
Yep.
And make sure it's somewhere you want to go. And then the second, the last thing that I'll say about the showcases and travel ball and all that kind of stuff is now that I'm a college coach, go to the camps and the showcases of the universities that you want to go to. Go to those, introduce yourself to the coach, you know, let him know that you're interested in coming, know your GPA, know your ACT or your SAT scores, know what majors they have, all those little things, and go to their camps, introduce yourself. And then, you know, from there, you may have a better opportunity to get an offer, whether it's a scholarship offer or a walk-on offer or whatever, but you may have a better chance if you go to that school's actual camp.
Coach, I'm glad you gave me a long answer because there's a lot there, and I appreciate. I think there's a ton of value in what that answer was. I think just to kind of summarize it, and I think I feel the same way. You know, I'm kind of on both sides as well. You know, it's the younger they are, it's fun. Right. If they're having a blast and they're having great friendships and you can't beat that, you know, it's either that or they're sitting playing video games in their basement.
Yeah. And I don't mean to cut you off. I do want to say one thing. I've made the trip to Panama City Beach, Florida with my 10-year-old. OK, I've made the trip yep. to Kansas City. With my 11-year-old. So I've done it and we enjoyed it. We had a great time. They played, you know, they had pool parties and we played yep. at the beach and all that. And so I'm not begrudging if that's what you choose to do. Cause it's honestly, I agree. It's great memories. You're making memories, it's family vacations and all that kind of stuff. But to the families that may like, don't beat yourself up if you're not doing it, and don't do it just cause you think it's going to lead to something else down the road. So I apologize for cutting you off, but I've done it. I've spent a week at the beach in a condo that we probably couldn't afford, so my 10-year-old could you know say he was a World Series champ. So.
Hey, not a problem. This is your interview, not mine. I like to give my two cents every once in a while. But no, I do appreciate that because the point I was making was if it's fun and the kids are having a great time, great. I think the issue is what you've been sold. 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds, if you're being sold that you're going to be seen, who cares? I hear it all the time from coaches. We don't care. My favorite is Coach Augustine up in Delaware. He looks at him. He's got a 12-year-old as well. They win World Series champions. And with 12 years, he goes, but nobody cares. And he said it like three times. Nobody cares. And I laugh. And it's so funny. So it's you have to look at what you're trying to accomplish. And I love how you laid it out. And so I'm going to just let people listen to your response and go with that. So thank you for kind of going into that subject. So now, you know, your journey's been packed with baseball. I mean, baseball and a little bit of real estate on the side but really the passion is the baseball. So Randall University, what are you looking for? What are the types of players that would be that are good fits for your program?
What we do is every recruiting cycle, I break it down I look for about 20. We try to recruit about 20 guys on campus. When I took over, I only had 8 returners. So the way that we've kind of rebuilt that is we don't want a lot of guys the same age. So I don't want to be put in that situation again. So we've kind of built through the transfer portal. I've actually used the transfer portal some and some junior college guys and then the freshmen. And so what I'm looking for in a high school player, we'll start there. What I'm looking for in a high school player is I actually break that down a little bit too. And I'll talk about kind of where I look and then what I look for. Okay. So one of the places that I look is like in Texas, we've got large 6A high schools that have 5,000 students. There's some really good baseball players that probably don't get a lot of playing time that are seniors. They're graduating. They play on some travel ball organizations and tournaments and stuff like that. So we'll kind of dig through and pick through there. You know, the starting shortstop at the biggest Houston high school is probably going D1, something like that. So what's his backup doing? Right. What is the guy that is behind him that's also graduating? Kind of what's he doing? And then we also scour. That's the wrong word. We look for the small guys, the you know, 1A, 2A type guys that are just athletic baseball players that are getting overlooked because they're playing at a 1A, 2A high school. So kind of that's where we start looking. And then we do have connections with people that are like, hey, you know, they raise their hand or they send me a tweet and they're like, hey, I've got this guy. So I kind of want to tell you, like, that's kind of where we start looking. But what type of player? So that's really what people are interested in is what type of player. And honestly, it kind of goes with what I just said is we look for those guys. And what we're building on is guys that can come in and they're athletic. We look for athletic guys. We look at a lot of two-way players, so guys that can pitch and play another position. And then, you know, just athletic ability and want to be a college baseball player. And so one thing that I tell the recruits and I tell my players every day, we have this conversation, is you have to make a decision on – do you want to be a college baseball player or do you want to tell people you played baseball in college? Because that's what I did, right? I went and I mean, looking back on it,
right?
I didn't really want to be a college baseball player because I didn't want to show up early. I didn't want to stay late. I didn't want to put in the work. And so I asked them, do you want to be a college baseball player or do you want to just tell people you played baseball in college? And we look for the guys that want to be a baseball player in college. And so they're wanting to, they understand that they need to get better. They understand that they need to get faster. They understand that they need to get stronger. And those are really the types of players that we look for that we know are going to show up and know that they aren't necessarily ready. And I say that, and that may pigeonhole me, and there may be guys that would be like, coach, but I'm already 6'4", 225, bench pressing, whatever. That doesn't mean I'm not interested in you. Right. But if you're willing to work when you get here and get bigger, better, and faster and all that, then I want you.
That's good. That's good. Talk about the program. I mean, you've done a great job of laying out kind of the players, but talk about your program, your philosophy, and what makes Randall University a place that people should be putting on their list of places to check out.
Right. So I will not be apologetic for anything I'm about to say. There will probably lose some listeners, but that's perfectly fine. So the biggest thing when I took over, like I said, we had 8 players that returned. They had won 18 games that year. That year I was the assistant. They had won 18 games. that year. And that was the most games they had won since at least 2014. That's as far back in the records that I could go. But that 18 games was the most they had won since at least 2014. So I took over, rebuilt the program with recruits. And last season we won three regular season games. That's what it is. Pitching rotation was a mess because of me. I take full responsibility for that. Still trying to figure out where guys fit, things like that. And then just there was some in-game management, some putting guys in positions where they weren't going to be successful. And that's on me. I take full responsibility. But what I did was the program, and all of this is kind of tell you what kind of program we have, is we won three regular season games. Through that process, the guys bought in into what we were doing. They understood the accountability. When I take one of my starters and set him down for a whole weekend because of a team policy, and then he turns out to be the only guy on the team that made all conference because he went on a tear and batted 400 after that. That's an accountability factor that we had in there. And we had some of those things going on. We show up to regionals. We go 3-2 in regionals. We lose 3-1 to the eventual regional champ. And we actually no hit them through the last six innings of the game. But we lost 3-1 to them. And then the runner up, who finished second in regionals, we lost to them in the semifinal game, 6-5 in extra innings. So we send three teams home. We end up going 3-2, winning the same amount of games in regionals that we had won all season. And I say all of that because that's what we were building to.
Right.
That was, it was the first season as the head coach. And there was some building blocks that we had to do. But the type of program that I'm running is they kept buying in. Game 50, they could have thrown in the towel game 25. They could have thrown in the towel game 30. They didn't. And we were an extra inning win or extra inning away from actually getting a bid to the World Series as a 5-win team. That's the type of program that we run. It's all based on accountability. It's all based on teammates. I tell guys all the time, we're not a program my seniors still load the buses. My seniors still carry water to the dugouts. My seniors still get the balls for the batting cage because that's the type of accountability. And it's hard for me to take credit for a lot of that. And I'm not saying that it's because of me, but that's the type of program and that's the type of leadership that we instill within the program that actually ends up, we end up winning three games in regionals and going 3-2. And we're building on that. That was year one. Now we're building on that. We've recruited in guys that and I've seen it this fall that believe in that. They're buying into that mentality. It'll show up on the field. You made a comment a while ago, and this a little bit about kind of how I run the program. When I get these guys, they're 18. Most of them are 18. Some of them I'll get transfers or whatever. They're 18 to 20. My goal, and this is another part of where I said we're probably going to lose some people. My goal my goal is to make sure that when these guys leave Randall University, that they're ready for whatever next step of life comes their way. I want them to be able to be the best employer, the best employee, the best husband, the best father, the best baseball coach, if that's what they go on to do, or the best player. If they go on, we had a guy last year leave and go play independent baseball. So my goal for them is to, when they leave here, be the best version of themselves that they can be at that time, not necessarily the wins and losses. If I do what I just said and I make sure that every single one of those players is the best version of themselves, the wins and losses will come.
Yep. That's perfect. That's great. You're not going to lose anybody from that. I think everybody is looking for that type of coach. Wrapping up here, getting to the end, you had mentioned about accountability. Your program is about accountability. I'm a parent of a 15, 16, 17-year-old son. They like what they hear. They like to reach out. What does accountability mean? What does that actually mean? Give some real life example of what that means as a ball player and a college student.
Accountability is 80% attendance in class. We keep attendance, so there's no reason for unexcused absences. Accountability, and I'm talking about the classroom a little bit. Accountability is no lower than a C in a class. I understand not all students are straight A students and stuff like that. But if you have a lower than a C and lower than a 75% attendance in that class, then you're ineligible. That's accountability in the classroom. Accountability on the field is doing the right thing, making sure you're where you're supposed to be. We have a rule that if you miss two practices in a week, you're ineligible. Some things like that we have in place for accountability. And then the accountability that I like to talk to with the guys a lot of times is the accountability within each other. You know, I'm not on the field. I'm not throwing the pitches. I'm not running the bases. I'm not fielding the ball. So they have to have a level of accountability with each other where they trust each other.
Right.
And they do a very good job of holding each other accountable. If somebody's late to practice, some of the guys are the first ones to, you know, I don't have to say anything. They'll come in late and the guys will be like, hey, you're 2 minutes late. You need to run your two poles or whatever it is. And I never even have to say anything. And it's got to the point where when guys walk in and they're 2 minutes late, they just go start running. And I turn around and I'm like, hey, why is he running? And then somebody's like, hey, he was 2 minutes late. And I'm like, perfect. So those are some things accountability wise. And then that just leads on later into life, you know, knowing that you're going to have somebody that is relying on you, that you have to be accountable to besides just yourself.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's great, Coach. Now talk about Randall University as we close out. Talk about the school.
Yeah. Randall University. We are a 4-year university. We play in the National Christian College Athletic Association as an independent. So that means we actually get to play a diversified schedule. We'll play NAI Division II, Division III. Last year, we went and played Tarleton State Division I. We got to play on ESPN Plus.
Awesome.
We've got that penciled in right now, but the dates, we had some date issues and stuff. So we're not 100% sure that'll happen, but that's on the plan. We play in the National Christian College Athletic Association World Series. Like I said, the school, 4-year degree, business, chemistry, education, all your major. The only one we ever get asked about that we don't have is we do not have an engineering program.
Okay.
We are a Free Will Baptist university, so the guys do have to go to chapel, and we have some stuff like that we have to do, community service that's required, and things like that. We offer, so our scholarships, I will say this, our scholarships are all academic based. So we have scholarships that come from the university based on ACT and GPA. And then we have departmental scholarships that we use to, that you can stack on top of that. And get additional money. And then we do not charge out-of-state tuition. So we don't charge out-of-state tuition for anybody outside the state of Oklahoma.
Awesome.
And even though we are private, we accept all FAFSA. So any type of financial aid that you have available from outside of the university, we do accept. So
okay.
There's my 30-second elevator pitch on the school.
That's good. That's great. It's a great little school. I looked at some of the pictures. Yeah, as an independent, that's a lot of flexibility. You know, and I appreciate you kind of sharing the value of that. So a lot of people are looking at different divisions, different conferences, trying to find that. Independence is, I think of Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame's independent. They get to go play whoever they want, and create some rivalries and different things that are a little bit unique. And so I appreciate the opportunity to get to know you, Coach. Looking forward to keeping in touch and watching the program expand and grow. And what do you, you know, I always ask at the end, what's the season look like? I mean, what are your, obviously high expectations, but What are you thinking?
We will be significantly better. I really believe I got in trouble last year because I tweeted out that some stuff and some of the other teams that we played held it against me and chanted it at me from the dugout. So I don't want to give any bulletin board material. I think we last season we lost a lot of games. They were close until about the fifth or sixth inning. Then they kind of got away from us. I think we've put some pieces in place this year that those games won't get away from us, and we'll win a lot more of those close games than we ended up losing last year. And I think the conference championship, finishing at the top of the conference, competing again, getting to the semifinals or the finals of the regional tournament is definitely not above. I'm not scared to say that that's our goal. I tell the guys that I tell you, I always give long answers. We have standards. We have standards that we set, and we have standards that we hold each other to for each game. And at the end of the day, if we hit all those standards, we're gonna win a lot more than we lose. Sometimes we hit all five of those standards and we're still behind on the scoreboard. But I think moving forward with the guys we have in place, more times than not this year, we're going to be on the winning side of that score.
That's awesome. Coach, what's the best way of getting a hold of you? I'm a player that's interested. You're big on social media. What are some ways that people can reach out?
If you send the easiest way is to Twitter. Send me a message on Twitter, and it's a three-step process, and you're going to say, this doesn't make any sense. If you send me a message on Twitter, I will send you a link to email me. And what that does is when it emails me, it goes into a certain folder, and it doesn't get lost in all my other hundreds of emails that I get every day. So because I send you that certain link, it gets tagged and it goes into a certain folder. And so that's the easiest way. Send me a message on Twitter. I'll send you a link to email me. And then from there, I usually schedule a 15-minute phone call, just to get them on the phone. That's huge. So much social media. A lot of players don't know how to talk on the phone these days. So I like to get them on the phone, kind of hear what's really in their voice. And then from there, we'll move forward.
That's awesome. Coach, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time, and you have a great Christmas.
Hey, you too. Thank you for having me.